Like to invite you over to the book of Matthew chapter 25 verse 1. Matthew chapter 25 verse 1. Matthew chapter 25 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together in your name, in your house, in your local New Testament church. And Lord, we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to fill us, to guide us, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you might be honored and glorified, and our lives drawn closer to you. And Lord, that you would strengthen the faith you've given to us to truly be your light and your salt into a dark and dying world. Bless your people, Lord. Bless your word. And we'll praise you and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. We're going to look at 4 thoughts here very briefly. The first one is the context of the conversation, and then God's declaration, God's explanation, and then God's warning at the end here. So these will be the 4 thoughts that we'll take a look at this morning. But before we get started, I want to remind you that the child of God walks by what? Okay, we walk by faith, not by feelings, not by how we feel. We need to be careful about that. The Lord said, be careful not to be unequally yoked together. Let me ask you this question. How many times does God have to say something in order for it to be true? How many times? Just once, right? And it's not a truth, it is the truth. Please be careful about my truth, your truth, her truth, his truth, and whatever other pronoun you want to use, all right? Because there's only one truth, and listen, there's only one way into eternal life, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that might be offensive, but it's still the truth. And so we need to be careful that we adhere to the Word of God and not how we feel. And this is why God told His people from the very beginning, and I'm talking about the people of Israel, that you don't go into the unbelievers and get unequally yoked, because they're going to draw your heart away. Well, why would that be? Because if you give your sons and your daughters to marry them, you're going to develop a relationship with them. You're going to love them, and you're going to want to overlook, because you love them, the things that God says we should not overlook. And the reason why we shouldn't overlook those things is because they do bring death and they do bring destruction. And listen, God is a just God and a holy God. And may we realize the importance of honoring and obeying His truth, which is the only truth. So we don't go by feelings, but if we're not careful, we'll use our feelings to justify our faith. You can talk about spiritual things, and you hear some people say this, well, I believe, well, wait, let's just stop right there. Is it what God's Word is saying? Because it doesn't matter what we believe unless it lines up with the Word of God. Even worse than that is, listen, well, I think, oh, we're in bigger trouble now. Amen? We don't want to lean onto our feelings, on what we think and what we believe. The standard is the Word of God, and that alone. Tell me what the Bible says about what you think. Tell me what the Bible says about what you believe. Because if it's not in the Bible, it's wrong.
And we have to be careful that we stand on the rock of our salvation, because a child of God can be misled. Can the man after God's own heart, David by name, can he be misled by his feelings? Did he not fall into sin? Absolutely. Because he had some ideas of what he thought and how he felt. And listen, it dishonored the Lord, and it did bring death and destruction into his home, unfortunately. And so we need to be careful, because in this day and age, more than ever, they are calling good evil and evil good. They are calling the things that God has said are an abomination good. And we need to be careful. No, if God says it's an abomination, I'm sorry, I'll have to be unpopular. I will have to be on so-called the wrong side of history, according to their definition, because I want to be on the Lord's side. I don't want to be on my side, on anybody else's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. And I believe that's why you're here this morning, all right? You don't ever have to wonder what's going to take place at Northwood Baptist Church, do you? Do you think we'll have a rock concert next Sunday? Do you think maybe we'll have some other kind of stage performance? Or do you think you'll come and you will hear the preaching of the Word of God? And that's what it's all about, because that's what honors and glorifies the Lord. You never have to guess what's going to happen here at Northwood Baptist Church by the grace of God. You'll never have to guess, and nobody is going to come here that doesn't want to be here to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And listen, it is not in me, and it is not in my heart, and I pray never will be, because I'm just flesh and blood, that I will ever think, now what will bring people into the house of God? No, God has told me it is the preaching of the Word of God. It is the gospel that is the power unto salvation. No matter anything else that we do, it will not do anything for the glory of God. It may draw a crowd, but it will never do anything for the glory of God. And so we need to be careful that we adhere to the Word of God. We live in definitely strange and trying times, and we want to be careful that we are adhering to the Word of God. Okay, so let's consider the context concerning five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. What is this context? Well, I'm going to need you to back up just for a moment to chapter 24 in the book of Matthew there, and look at verse 1. So we can bring this, because this is a continuation. The Lord was preaching and he was speaking. And then notice verse 1 of chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. They're impressed with this. And so they come, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The things that are temporal are not really impressive. The things that are eternal, and the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, is the holiest of all temples. And so the physical temple fell down. In fact, nobody really knows where it was at. They suspect this. They have a suspicion that it was over here, over there. But listen, the Lord's temple, the true temple, is still in existence today, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord for that. So he's saying this is going to get thrown down, this physical temple. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, listen to this, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So he's saying, be careful that you're not deceived. Do you know, listen, I don't know if you want, and I'm not going to encourage, there's good things to find, but there's a lot of trash on the internet for sure. But on a television commercial, and we've talked about this before in the past, Super Bowl commercials, millions and millions of dollars for a 30-second commercial, and people that advertise on those commercials, they're not throwing away those millions and millions of dollars. They know this, that little 30-second exposure is going to compel people to buy their product, and they're going to make more than what they spent in that commercial. Now, in case we don't realize how powerful these are, On the internet, on YouTube particularly, you can skip commercials after about 5 seconds, about the fastest, right? Maybe 3 seconds, 5 seconds. Why do you think you can skip them? Because the advertiser's already done his work. He doesn't need but 5 seconds to just reveal that. We're skipping maybe the other 15 seconds or the other 30 seconds. Some of them are 5-minute commercials that nobody wants to listen to or watch. But here's the whole thing. The devil already knows. He just needs to, when I say the devil, because there's a lot of trash that they're advertising for today, and especially these new movies that are coming out glorifying and trying to lift up things that God says are wrong. And so when we consider those things, realize this, it is doing something in our hearts and minds. And that's why God said it's so important for you and I to be in His Word, to have our minds renewed daily because of the onslaught of the devil's ploy and plan to destroy your witness and mine for the honor and glory of God. The devil knows this. You can't lose your salvation. You're eternally secured. But bless God, he's going to try to keep your life and my life from being a witness to the honor and glory of the Lord that would take anybody else out of the kingdom of death and destruction. And so, as we consider this, the Lord says, take heed that no man can deceive you. Please, please, do not think that will never happen to me. You're headed in a dangerous path if you think that can't. We have to strive and press toward the mark. Paul said, I've not attained. I'm not taking it easy. I'm pushing toward the mark to receive more of the grace of God in my own personal life. But I want you to see something here in verse 3 that's pretty interesting. And notice in verse 3 it says, and as he sat upon the mount, listen to this, of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us when shall these things be? Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And what shall be the sign of thy what? Of thy coming, the second coming of Christ, and of the end of the world. So these are three things that the disciples are asking that the Lord is going to address. We're not going to look at those three things today, but I wanted you to understand the context of what the Lord was telling the disciples, because they had three specific questions that they were asking the Lord, and the Lord was good to give these explanations. But he does tell us something very interesting here in our text, and so that's the context of the conversation. Listen to God's declaration and what he gives us here in verse 1 of chapter 25. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So he's giving a warning here to his people concerning those who were wise and those who were foolish. And I want to remind you that the Lord said something else concerning his return. And look at verse 32 of chapter 24. You might be on the same page right there where you're at. But look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. It says this, now learn a parable of the what? Of the fig tree. This is important. When his branch is yet tender, knoweth that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know it shall be near, even at the doors. And what is he talking about? He's talking about these things being fulfilled and the Lord's return. Notice what he says in verse 26. He says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father. And he talks about how it's going to happen suddenly. And that's talking about the return of the Lord. I want you to look at something else that's important. We're not going to go to these other texts, but the Bible compares Israel to the fig tree. And the fig tree, believe it or not, has some interesting attributes about it concerning bearing fruit. The fig tree will keep fruit from the previous season and have it held over till the following season, and it will show signs of bringing forth fruit, but there will still be fruit that was left from the previous year that you'll be able to pluck and enjoy. And that's why the Lord cursed the fig tree that it died, because it had leaves. It was showing that it was showing signs of bearing fruit, and it had no fruit. And so the Lord cursed it. How does God feel about a fruitless life? It's not a blessing, it's a curse. And listen, it's because God has provided everything to take place that your life and mine would bear fruit unto the honor and glory of God. Because, listen, the result of fruit is not based on your effort or mine. It's based on the promises of God. Not what we can do, but what God wants to do if we'll seek it. It's not going to happen. You have eternal life because you sought it. But now God says, because you're in me, abide in me. Why is he saying that? Because there's something to it that we need to seek out, that you might bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. John chapter 15. But go back with me to the Old Testament book of Hosea just for a moment. That's one of those tricky books there towards the end of the Old Testament. If you've not been there in a while, right after the book of Daniel, in case you want to know. If you can find Daniel, flip towards the New Testament, look at the book of Hosea. And I want you to see something here in Hosea chapter 9, verse 1. Listen to this. Rejoice not, O Israel. There's a problem here for joy. As other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. You're not looking for the things of God. You're looking for a temporal reward. You've lost your focus here. Drop down to verse 3. I want you to see the tone of the Lord. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. So this is not a blessing, but the Lord is having concern and passing judgment on Israel. And then look with me, if you will, to verse 10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the what? In the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor, that's a false god, and separated themselves unto that shame. And their abominations were according as they loved. So did they lose their first love? Absolutely. And verse 10, I found who? Israel. And he's comparing them to the fig tree and how they were supposed to be bearing fruit, but they weren't bearing the right kind of fruit, were they? So Israel is a type of a fig tree. Not only that, we're not going to go there. Jeremiah 8:13, you can look at that later, talks about the Israel being a fig tree. And then Jeremiah chapter 24 talks about good figs and evil figs. And again, it is likening them unto Israel, these figs. Okay, so that's a little bit of context, but I want you to see the Lord's declaration. Chapter 25 of the book of Matthew says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, here's what we need to be careful not to do, and that is to read in more than what's there. Some people say, does that mean you can lose your salvation? Did the Lord say, this is what salvation is like? Or did he say, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like? So if you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, you're dealing with people who are in the kingdom. You're not in the kingdom of heaven if you don't have eternal life. You must be born again. Oh, listen, the world doesn't know what to make of that. They mock that, but they don't understand. It is a revelation of our need of salvation. It is also another revelation that gives us understanding that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for all of our sins. I wouldn't know that unless the Holy Spirit revealed that to me through his word. I wouldn't know to receive. I wouldn't know what to do with Jesus. I wouldn't know what to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I did know that I was a sinner. And I did know that my sins gave me eternal condemnation. And I did understand this too. It wasn't just because of the sins that I've committed. It was because I was born a sinner. And here's what else what I learned from the Word of God, that even my righteousness, you know, the things that I thought would impress God, like being kind to the poor and being good and not hurting anybody and not stealing and all that, I was still condemned. Because in me, I didn't have some righteousness, I had no righteousness. And I was lost and undone without the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was my prayer. Jesus, help me. That was it. That I understood everything in my mind and in my heart. And I said, I'm going to split hell wide open. And I know it. And the next moment, I just said, Jesus, save me. And he took away my sins. I can't explain it. I didn't see. I didn't hear. But boy, oh boy, did I understand God had forgiven me of all of my sins. Now we have an opportunity to serve the Lord in his power and his grace the same way he saved us. I want you to know this. Listen, I had nothing to do with my salvation. And for me to have anything to do with it would be telling Jesus, you didn't do enough for me. I've got to help you out. What help can I give God? Who created me? He needs my help? No. I can't help. I can't help the Lord. All right. So he says, I want to help you. So verse 2, he says, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. You know who he's talking to? His disciples. You know who he's talking to today? His children. This is not applicable to the lost world. This is applicable to those who are saved, that they might understand how to be found faithful in the Lord. So let's consider, as we look at this declaration, let's look at God's explanation. Look at verse 3. They that were foolish, he's going to explain this now. They that were foolish took their lamps and took what? No oil. No oil. Now, what is the oil of God always, when God would anoint kings and give oil, that was a picture of what? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always tied in with the oil. Now, listen, does God command you and I to not be drunk with wine where it is in excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, that's different than being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. At your birth, when I say your spiritual birth, when you're born again, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are permanently indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But then the Bible commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit to where He's guiding our lives. So you're indwelt. That's the earnest of the down payment of your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's yours forever. But to be influenced, not with alcohol, but by the Holy Spirit, is something completely different that in this day and age, if we're not careful, we'll overlook it. And that's the crux, really, of what the Lord's talking about here. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps. They've got salvation. They've got a vessel, but they took no oil with them. But the wise did what? They took oil in their vessels and in their lamps. So here we find what the difference was between the foolish, and again, the oil is referencing and equating it to the Holy Spirit. That's what changes our lives. It's what gives us God's grace in our lives for the world to see. So he says this, verse 5, Jesus speaking to the disciples, while the bridegroom tarried, he took some time, they all slumbered and slept. But there's a difference between the two sets of five, is there not? There are those that took an interest enough to seek out and provide and make sure they had the provision of oil in their lamps. The other one were careless. They had a vessel, but they did not pursue the oil. So what happened here? Verse 6, and at midnight, doesn't that talk about the Lord coming at midnight as a thief in the night? So verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And you know, whenever there was a marriage, you know that there was a trumpeter that would blow the trumpet right before the announcement? Does that sound a little familiar about the rapture of the church? At the last trump, it's gonna take place. And then notice this. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Are we going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air if we're here for the rapture? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They're ready. Who are the ones that are trimming their lamps? Well, the ones that have oil in them. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They have the capability to house the oil and to receive the oil and to be filled with the oil, just like you and I do today. But they didn't. The oil ran out. See, that is something that has to be daily pursued. The Lord gives us the grace that we need for the next year or for today, for right now. So we cannot just say, well, I'm saved. I don't need to do anything else. Well, that's true in a sense of concerning eternal life. But if you want the glory of God, if you want to draw near to the Lord so the Lord will draw near to you, that's something completely different in your salvation. That is something that is equally needs to be pursued just like you did when you got saved. And so the foolish virgins say to the wise ones, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I wonder if that's what's That also, the oil, the lamp, gives what? Did Jesus Christ say you're the light of the world? Not without his oil. You may have eternal life, but you have no light without his oil. And people don't want to hear what you have to say. They want to see the light of God. Believe it or not, the lost world is not impressed with how much scripture you've memorized if there's no oil in your lamp. The lost world is not impressed with us slapping the Bible down and saying, this is what you better be doing. The world holds their nose and says, keep it, I'm going somewhere else. There's more fun out here. There's no hope in that. Because without the power of God, we can do nothing. We must abide in Christ. And so God wants us to be his light. He wants us to be his salt. And God is saying, listen, I want you to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. There were five, let's just take it at 50%. I dare say it's probably, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, he asked this question, shall he find faith on the earth? That was a question. Now listen, God is giving a warning. Wouldn't you tend to agree? And he's giving us some spiritual advice. Not because there's judgment coming, but because we have an opportunity of hope for God's blessings. God is wanting us to understand this. He wants to fill us to bless us. But not just to fill our cup, but to let it fill up to where it's overflowing so it blesses and encourages our family, our church family, and ultimately to the world. But it has to be his light and his power. So he's saying this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's not giving us these certain doctrinal truths about the rapture, about the second coming, but he is telling us whether or not we'll be ready or not. That's the focus of this illustration here, or this allegory that he's giving to the believers here. And so he says, they've gone out, look at verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so. You know what that's telling us? You have to get your own oil from the source. Another believer cannot give you their oil. We make a mistake to hear the word of God and say, oh, that made me feel good. I enjoyed that truth. You still have to get your own oil. God wants to give you his power, his oil. He wants to fill you with his spirit. But you have to ask him for it. Does he already know that we need it? Absolutely. But why does he ask us to ask him for the things that he already knows that we need? Because it requires what? Faith. To believe that he can answer that request. If we're not asking God, are we expressing in our lives in any way at all whatsoever that we need him? If we're not asking God for things that we need in our lives, we display no faith, no oil. Are you a child of God? If you've trusted him as your Savior, you are. Do you have eternal life? Absolutely. But he wants to know where the oil's at. See, that requires you and I to be serious about what he said in his word concerning what he wants to do in our lives. And if we're not serious about what God wants to do in our lives, the world won't be either. The lost world won't see squat that we have if it's not Jesus. If it's just, well, because I'm disciplined and I make sure I read my Bible every day and I make sure, but where is the light of God? Where is the oil of God in your life? Where is the peace? Where is the joy? Where is the love? Not what we manufacture, but what God gives us. Is your standing before the Lord important? Then God has a word for us. And he says, I want you to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. Five were wise and five were foolish. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Who's speaking? Who's telling this story? Who's telling the disciples what heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven? It's Jesus himself. He's saying, listen, I want you to know that you as an individual believer, he's telling you right now, he's telling us that another believer cannot give you the oil. That's what he's telling you. They can't. Did any one of those virgins, by the way, why are they virgins? Because of the blood of the Lamb that makes us pure. Isn't that something? And he is likening you and I to being pure. But he didn't say they were false virgins, did he? No, he said they were foolish. He said they were foolish. Is God a just God? Is he righteous? Is he holy? Is he serious? He's not playing games. The world can la-di-da all it wants to. They're going to stand before a very serious and holy and righteous God one day without eternal hope unless they understand and receive the truth. And God has chosen you and I as vessels for his honor and glory. But if we care little to nothing about it, then the world has, we are the watchman that has fallen asleep on the watch. He said he's the one, that, because you have a new life, God has made us the ministers of reconciliation. In your realm of life, it would be a good question to say, Lord, how do you want me to shine my life where I'm at? God's not sending us off overseas. Can he even get us to go across the street? You know, Lord, help me to be what you want me to be, your light in my life. That's all. Listen, if all of us shine the light of God, not ours, the light of God in our realm, our families at the very least are going to be influenced. You remember Abraham? Remember when God was going to go judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Listen, he was concerned about Lot, bottom line, but he thought that maybe Lot at least spoke to 50 people that got saved. That's why he said, Lord, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 50? Then he got to thinking about Lot. Lord, what if there's 45? How about 40? 30? 20? Got down to 10. Got down to 10. Oh, what do you think Abraham saw when he saw the smoke coming up from Sodom and Gomorrah? But God gave yes to his request. He spared Lot, didn't he? And his two daughters. But Abram thought at least 50. At least he told 50 about the grace that God had given to him. See, if we're not careful, yeah, we're righteous and we're sealed. But do we have any gratitude to God? Do we have any gratitude and thoughtfulness to the others he's died for? God so loved the world that he died for the whole world. And God wants to use us. Listen, we are going to look into the face of our Savior one day. Do you believe that? What we're talking about has eternal bearing. But if we're not careful, what we say is, I don't have any time for that. Really? Really? The only reason why you have time in the first place is because of God. It's the only reason why. Are we at least making time to meet with him in prayer? I don't want to tell you a time. Let the Lord move you. I'm not going to 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. There's no set time. Meet with the Lord and let him meet with you. He'll get your attention. He'll bless you. He's the one that will keep you there. And if it's only for 5 minutes, then you know, ask the Lord to create, do something in you. Give him, Lord, reveal your, that I might enjoy. When we're praying, we're meeting with God. Can you imagine? Listen, think about this. Man, I'm so bored when I pray. Do we realize what we're saying? The presence of God bores me. Maybe because you're not experiencing the presence of God. Because the presence of God is awing, not boring. Let me give you a little reminder of what the presence of God was when you got saved. If that was boring, you better check something out. Because I don't know about you, I wanted to shout it from the housetops. I was the proverbial one without much knowledge telling everybody about Jesus, and all they thought was, man, he's gotten religion. He's become a fanatic for Jesus. And I said yes to all those things. I just didn't know how to tell them about salvation. I just knew what God did for me. Why? Because God touched my life like I never thought possible. And every time we meet and seek with the Lord, he wants to do something to make us different and to build our faith and to give us the assurance and confidence of his grace in our lives. So he says, you can't get it from other believers. And then notice the importance of the timing. Look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was what? Shut. After that, this is the marriage. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He didn't say these were false, just foolish. He's not saying anything about salvation. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. And that's where people get confused and say, well, maybe he didn't know them. They weren't saved. No. That was judgment that was taking place amongst his own. If judgment began at the house of God, what hope does the world have? God is a righteous judge, even with his own. He delegates and divvy outs to those what he wants to. Does he not? He gave one fellow 5 talents, 1 2, and the other 1 1. Well, let's just use the talent that God has given to us to the honor and glory. Not just, oh, I got one, so I'm afraid I'm going to bury it. Is that going to make him pleased? You buried, you hid what I gave you? He didn't say that they lost their salvation. You won't get, he said, the kingdom of heaven, his return. This is what it's like, remember? Tell us what the sign of your coming is going to be. Tell us what it's going to be like. He said, okay, since you asked, I'm going to tell you what it's going to be like. True story, a judge. And I told you this before, but this is important. It's worth repeating. His own son had some kind of a violation. I don't remember. It wasn't a heinous crime or anything like that. But the judge's son got in trouble and had to stand before his dad. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? And the father, who was a judge, said, for the record, I don't know what he called him, young man, state your name. And the son is like, what? You know who I am, Dad? Young man, state your name and the address. I don't remember what it was that he had to declare before the judge. Why? Because he was in his official capacity, and for the record, it had to be straightened out. It had to be spoken. And so likewise, hey, listen, if we act, he's not saying that he wasn't his son. But when it comes to being ready and having oil in your lamp, that's a choice we make. That has nothing to do with our ability. That has everything to do with whether or not we ask God to fill our lamps. That he might shine his light in and through our lives. You've got people that will listen to that and say, oh, well, I think, remember? I think, I believe. Well, that's not going to wash for you when you stand before the Lord. Because Jesus said, if you ask me, I'll answer you. How much more? Remember when he talked about what you give your children? At the end of that, check it out. How much more will your heavenly Father give them the Holy Spirit that ask him? He said that. Because that's something that needs to be filled daily. Hourly. We are one step from going our way and not God's way. We're one step from doing that. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, as he's telling you and I today, because his word's eternal and he knew we would be here, I'm telling you what the kingdom of heaven is like. I'm telling you what's going to take place. There are those who are wise and those who are foolish. Who are you? And it's all dependent upon, do you have God's oil in your lamp? Do you have the Holy Spirit? And how often are you asking God for that Holy Spirit? Annually? You're going to run out. Quarterly? You're going to run out. Weekly? You're going to run out. How much does God give you? How much light? Thy word is a what? Light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. That means God gives me how much light? Enough for the next step. That's it. He didn't light up 50 yards down the road. I would dare say that it's important for you and I as his children to be walking continually in prayer with our Savior. That we might not be filled with ourselves, but with him. This morning, listen. Brother George, that's a tall order. No, it's an impossible order in our strength. But why did God give it? So that we would know what to do and what to ask for. Question, do you need God's oil? Don't answer this one. Are you asking Him? If not, the reason why God is speaking to us through His Word and telling us about it is so that we will ask Him. Oh my goodness. Hey, I'm flesh and blood in case you wonder, okay? And just in case you wonder, when I'm preaching this, I'm receiving it too. God gave it to me first, but as it's being preached, I'm being reminded how much I need the oil of God in my life. I'm not superhuman. I fall apart too. And listen, there are times I scratch my head and wonder, Lord, what are you doing? But then by faith, you got me in your hands, Lord. Lord, I know, listen, Lord, here's how I feel. In case you thought you were the only one. Here's how I feel, not good. Sad, worried, concerned. But you hold me in your hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I can take the next step. What about tomorrow? Hadn't gotten here yet. But I can take the next step today for this moment. Because I know for this step, God just told me He holds me in His hands. I got another step I'm going to take. Do I need Jesus for that too? Oh, thank you, Lord. How about the next one? What we forget to do is ask Him and realize how much we need Him. Some, believe it or not, listen, foolish people, foolish virgins, they can't remember the last time they asked God for help, for peace, for joy. Are they saved? Yeah, they're saved. But when was the last time they sought the truth in the Word of God? See, Jesus is not playing games. He says faith comes by and hearing by. Oh, isn't that amazing? And do you think that was just an annual checkup or a daily walk that God was talking about? This is a message of hope for us. For us. This is a reminder of the hope we have in God. He's not come yet. Even so, Lord, I want Him to come, but I'm glad He reminded me I need His oil daily because I can buy it now. And be ready. We can buy it now and be ready so that we might hear what we really want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But that will only happen if we take heed to the Word of God and seek Him in that. It's not God's not asking you to take inventory. He'll give you the talents that you need. Listen, Lord, use me. Don't figure out how He's going to use you. He will move you when it's time. He will show you the opportunity. He will say, I want you to speak to that person. He will lay it on your heart. Don't worry. Listen, don't worry about this, that, and the other. Just say, God, I want to be your vessel for your honor and glory. Don't complicate it. Well, then if I'm a vessel for God, then bless God. Ready? I think I ought to be doing this. We're so naturally, so loving to the Lord that we come up, we just want to tell God how to do it. And what we'll do is we'll show ourselves how we don't want to do it because we've overwhelmed ourselves. God just said, seek me and I'll lead you. Isn't that good? Just seek me, I'll show you. We're showing God. Hey, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build up three temples here, three tabernacles. And you know what? The voice from heaven came down and said, this is my beloved Son. And what happened to the disciples? They were shaken. And what did the voice say? Hear Him. Stop coming up with your own ideas. Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven? These people rejected you. In the flesh, we'll jump on board and call fire down from heaven to kill all the unbelievers. And God said, wait, wait, wait. I'm the farmer. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. I'll divvy it out. There are souls that still need to trust me and that will trust me. And here's the crazy part of all of it. through your life and mine as his vessels. You're his vessel. Place the vessel in his hands and he'll use it for his honor and glory. Keep your life and you'll lose it. You'll lose it. You'll lose the joy. You'll lose the happiness. You'll lose the purpose of God. You'll have an existence. But what is that without God? God says, and let me just share you the last word. Ready? Verse 13. Watch therefore because of this. Watch therefore. Understand this truth so that you have hope. Watch therefore because you don't want to be the foolish. Why? Because for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Did Jesus say that? Would it be fair enough to say nobody knows the day and the hour? Don't waste your time with these people. Here's when the Lord's coming back. 1988, I told you this before. A guy wrote a book. I don't even know who he was. 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ is Coming Back in 1988. I was just a brand new Christian, saved not too terribly long, about a year or so. I am so glad I didn't buy that book. I said, really? How does he know that? My pastor said, wait a minute. Look here. And I said, yep, I'll save my money. Amen? Listen, you only need one book. That's it. God's word. God's book. And he'll show you the way to go. Why? Because it's important to the Lord. He wants to be the difference if we'll ask him. But here it is. Ready? God invites us to it. He doesn't drive us to it. He invites us. Here's the truth. Will you receive it for your life? We're so good to say, well, yeah, so-and-so down the road, they need this. Boy, how about us? Let's stand, would you? Let's pray as we prepare for the Lord's invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, for the direction, the love that it reveals, the compassion, the opportunity that it gives for us as your children to walk with you and to experience you and to grow in your grace and to watch you work in our lives. Bless your people, bless your church, that we might be found faithful to your honor and glory and to our blessing. Whatever the need might be, Lord, may you speak to hearts and may they seek you and call upon you, that they might be filled with your grace, with your spirit, to glorify your name. Do that in us, Lord. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.